Good morning. It's time now for the Tawas United Methodist Church service from Tawas City, here on the Bay's best, WIOS.
Yesterday, Thank you, Matt. Yesterday, but yesterday I came to the 4 o'clock service, picked up the stuff that was brought in during the week, and also the 4 o'clock service. We now have gathered up 98 pounds of rice and beans. So keep them coming. This is the last full week. I will be back here on the 4th, Saturday and a Sunday. And I'm going to leave on Monday. I will come back here that Monday, which will be the 6th, at lunchtime type thing, to pick up. We are headed down that way. Do you have an idea what it is? A lot of the food last time I said mentioned went to the school. For you teachers out there, it was the most perfectly run school I've ever seen in my life. We showed up in a car. They were standing outside, perfect lines. The tallest to the smallest. Perfect lines, about 6-8 people in each line, not hitting each other like they do down here and stuff like that, bumping each other. They had it perfectly. And we got there, they stood that line for another 20 minutes while the principal and teachers talked to us. And it almost like they had attention. Then they came and they sang a song for us. I don't know what they sang, it was in Spanish. But at the point, I was so amazed. And then the food that they cook in is like a kitchen of 10 by 10 or open fire, so they do not have the electric costs too much, they have propane gas. So that's what a lot of the food went to, and that's what a lot of the toothbrush last year went to. And I'll tell you, those people are so grateful. The houses we build are unique. I drove them one time, and there were chickens running all around the place like that. And the lady wanted to be so grateful that, this family member built the house we built right in front of our own house. Not unusual to see 3 or 4 houses on the same property. But they just don't have the money. But anyway, we had some food she cooked for us, and we ate there at the last day type thing, and because you don't want to tell the people there was no chickens. You ask God, where's the chickens going? I said, you're eating them. Oh, wow, that's not good, is it? But that's what they are so grateful for. They will give you things that you would not believe in that respect. So that's the type of people they are. They're not like some of the people here in the United States. I tell you, I live down in Brighton. We can go into Detroit at Thanksgiving and pick up a free ticket, a turkey. They give them away. Come on now. They don't care if you're poor or not. But it's for the poor, but I'm sure there's people that do it and shouldn't. But anyway. So anyway, keep it very important. People really need your help in that respect, and you are helping them, and in the sense you're going down there too in that respect. Thank you.
Let's stand and sing together. Come thou fount of every blessing.
treasure, our highest praise, the one who makes our lives valuable. He calls us to worship and praise. We worship with faithfulness and longing.
Turn our eyes to truth and our hearts to love things God. May our worship be your grace. May our lives be holy offerings. Amen.
Now we come in the time of our service where we bring our concerns that we have in our hearts before the Lord. And I'm sure that the way this world is, and it seems like every time we turn around, there's somebody else struck with some health issues. So as we prepare to approach God's throne this morning, we'll begin with a moment of silent prayer. I'll lead us in prayer, and we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as our prayers rise before you, you give attention to them. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship, pray, and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. You have blessed us in so many ways. And just now we lift up those who are in places of floods, tornadoes, the people in the midst of war, Lord, and we ask that you bring comfort to those who lost loved ones. And we ask that you be with those who you've sent there in these troubled times to help. Father, your timing is always right, and your answer to our prayers are always for our best. Help us to accept your answers, Father, because we pray that your will be done in all things. And we pray for those who are going through health issues. And we pray for the churches as they go through this time of separation, Father. And we ask once more that your will be done. We know that you can bring good out of any situation, Father. And we ask that that takes place. And now, Father, we lift the prayer that you gave your disciples so long ago in saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. church this morning, or Christian moments?
There is
somebody here now? Oh, there is junior church then.
Oh,
okay. Thank you. Love it, Sean.
Okay, let's stand and sing together. Have a beautiful hymn here. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling her.
Want to belong to something, they like to have a cause that they can take part in. But then there's always some that never quite make up their mind. And there's many people that never make a definite decision. And Christ never wants us to be bystanders when it comes to Him. The word Christian means a person for Christ. It means you're close to Christ and you're following Christ and you're never neutral. You're never neutral in doing what Christ wants you to do. And I want to ask you this morning, are you a Christian? I mean, are you a real, genuine Christian? Many people have the wrong idea of what a Christian really is. A Christian is a person who prays. Yes, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Or you live by the golden rule. That's good, but it still doesn't make you a Christian. You say a Christian should go to church. Yes, they should. They should go to church. But just going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You can be baptized. You can be a member of the church. You can even be called a Christian. But that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. I'm talking about a real, genuine Christian, a person who has a real relationship with Christ, or one who keeps the Ten Commandments. I haven't met anybody that keeps the Ten Commandments. I haven't kept them, and I know you haven't kept them. You can look around at anybody here today and find somebody that's broken at least one of those commandments. And the Bible tells us if you've broken one, you've broken them all. And in the Bible, that's called sin. And the Bible tells us we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's requirements. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Now first, a Christian is a person who has made a choice. And second, a change has taken place in his life. And third, he accepts a challenge. First, he's made a choice. All through the Bible, we find that we have to make choices. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they made a choice, but they made the wrong choice. They rebelled against God. They thought they could build a world without God. And sin entered into that. And they passed that sin on to Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel passed it on to their children. And their children passed it on to you and I. And we all sin. All the problems we have in this world today is because our first parents sinned. David said we sin by choice. And when we choose to sin, it doesn't just affect us. It affects others as well. Moses said before he died, all the people of Israel, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, and you and your children shall live. You have to make a choice. He said, choose. And when Moses died, Joshua became their leader. And he had all the people of Israel before him. And he said, choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve yourself? Choose. Make a choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't sit on the fence. Make a choice one way or the other. If God be God, if the Lord be God, follow Him. If Christ is who He claims to be, follow Him. Because if Christ isn't who He claims to be, we're all in trouble. There will be no hope in the world. You see, you have to make a choice, and Jesus said, narrow is the road and narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, and wide is the road that leads to judgment. Jesus said, a few people are on the narrow road, only a few. Are you sure you're on that road? He said, only a few are going to be there. The vast majority are on the broad road, and that leads to judgment and hell. You see, it's what you do about Christ that counts. Because Christ came to die on that cross, and that cross becomes the door, it becomes the gate. And if you enter the narrow gate and the resurrection and say, yes, Lord, I believe. I turn from my sins. I'm willing to follow and change my ways of living. We enter that narrow road. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rocky. But in the end, it's heaven. And while you're on that road, you'll find a new source, a new way, and a new love that Jesus gives you that you don't have now. Now, a true Christian is a person who has made a change in his life. And that change is done by the Holy Spirit. The moment you receive Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And we find the Bible tells us all things have passed away and all things have become new. Your old way of living is gone, and your new way of living takes place. You become a new person, and He's the one who does it. He performs that act in your life. A true believer is one that a real change has taken place. Have you had a change take place in your life? See, you have to believe. The Bible's clear. You have to change your mind about the way you live. And you have to believe in Christ that that change will come. With the help of the Holy Spirit, that change will come. And I'm asking you today to change your mind about God if you haven't done so yet. We don't know how to meet our basic needs in life. All our problems with prayer pressure, Christ can take charge of all that if we only let Him. And a true believer is a person who accepts a challenge. Jesus said, any man who will follow me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, you deny your selfish ambition, your sinful pleasure. You deny that, and you take up your cross. And Jesus means you're going to die with Him. The cross is a place of executing Christians or criminals. And Jesus is saying, when you go back to your workplace and school, they may make fun of you when they know that you have accepted Christ. You may receive some persecution. You may even lose some of the friends that you have because they don't want to have anything to do with you now. You're different than what they are. You may find you have to pay a price for following Jesus. Many of the people that was following Jesus, when he talked about death, when he said he was going to die, many of them quit following him. They didn't understand the deeper meaning of it yet. They didn't realize when he would die on that cross, that would be their only hope of going to heaven and having their sins forgiven. Because when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, that's the only hope you'll have in this life and the life to come. Now, there's always going to be people who don't want to choose. They don't want their minds to be narrow. They want to be part of the uncommitted. But Jesus clearly taught, there is two roads, and you have to choose which road you're going to travel. And there is two masters, and you must choose which master you're going to serve. And there's two destinies, heaven or hell, and you have to make a choice which one. Because you see, God won't make that choice for you. God gives us His Son, and He helps to make that choice by sending you the Holy Spirit to convict you. But in the end, it's only you that can make that choice yourself. He let you choose the kind of life you live. There's nothing you can do about it. You can choose what you want to believe. There's nothing you can do about it. Because God gave you a gift of free will. You can say, I will, or you can say, I won't. Which will it be for you? I will, or I won't. You see, there's death to every other choice. You cannot travel both roads. When you choose one road, you die to the other. And Jesus will not allow you to stay neutral. There's a time to stand up and be counted. And Jesus demands that you do just that. Pilate asked, what should I do with this man called Jesus? What are you going to do with your decision? Pilate said, I don't want anything to do with him. He washed his hands of him. He had a choice. I believe we all know where he's going to be. He wasn't one of the ones Jesus appeared to. You have to make a decision. Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say I am? And Peter answered, you're Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, you're right. Now, some people don't choose because they say you can't prove God is real. Well, you can't prove he exists. That's true. But you can look at nature and you have to believe. Everything in nature tells us there must be a God. And the Bible tells us there is a God. And he's a spirit. And he created the world. And he's everlasting and everlasting. I change not. But God also tells us he's the God of love. He loves you. He's interested in you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants to come into your life, into your home, into your workplace. He wants to be the captain of your plans. He wants to be the captain of your boat, the driver of your car, the car of life. And then there are some of those that say, can we trust the Bible? The Bible tells us that all scripture is given by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. You can ask me questions that I won't be able to answer. But I believe everything is God-given. And with my faith, I believe that. And I accept the Bible and all that is in it. It changed my life. And it changed my soul. No matter when I open the Bible and read it, it speaks to me. It's a living book. It's a book of faith. And it's a book about God, and it has supernatural power. When you read it, you'll see the need to follow Christ and read the scripture that tells you how to live for Christ. We see the need to follow Christ because we see that things are different now. We feel Christ in our heart, in our life. That's what conversion is. You were going one way, but now when you're turning, you're going the other. Some people say, I don't want to go to church. They refuse Christ because of the church. They say the church is full of hypocrites. Well, there's hypocrites in every area. No matter where you go, you're going to find them. The church isn't the society of saints. The church is a place of sinners saved by the grace of God. The one requirement for membership in the true body of Christ is that you're unworthy to be a member. I'm not worthy to be a member of the body of Christ. Christ himself founded the church for his purpose, is to glorify God and worship. You see, we go to church to worship, and we go for the fellowship with other believers. God said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. But the main reason people don't want to go to church is that they don't want to pay the price. And Jesus will not compromise. He won't negotiate. He won't give you something easier. You either come by the faith that you have, or you don't come at all. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? It wouldn't be worth it. You see, your soul is that part of you that's going to live forever. And the decision that you make will decide where that soul is going to live. And there's only two places, heaven or hell. That's why you have to make that choice. If you haven't made that choice yet, I encourage you to do so. When we look at the world and see all the things that's happened in places where they've never happened before, all the new diseases that's coming up. These are all signs that Christ's return is closer than it's ever been. When that eastern sky opens and we see Christ coming, the time of decision is over. It's too late. You got to make it. You got to make it now. And if you choose Jesus, you'll not only be assured of going to heaven, but you'll also have the joy and the peace and the comfort that he'll give you while you're here. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have not made that choice. And we ask that they would do this to feel the love and joy you give to those who claim you as their Savior. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Now our ushers will wait upon us for our tithes and offerings.
And I repented of my sins and won the victory. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.